Hey everyone, welcome to our morning devotions. I hope you've had a good Thanksgiving weekend so far. Glad that you are spending this time in the Word and God's presence. Today's chapter is Matthew chapter 20. If you want to open that up on your own and read that along with me, you certainly can. But I'm going to read this verse as usual, and I'll share a quick devotion afterwards. This is Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" He said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles, to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And as they went out to Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Amen. The first 16 verses of this chapter are a parable, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And as with the other parables, this parable gives us a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Here, we see that a master of a house hires workers all throughout the day, starting early in the morning, then again at the third hour, which is about 9 a.m., then again at the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and then last but not least, the 11th hour. He hires even more workers at the very end of the day to go into the vineyard. When evening comes, the owner has the foreman pay the workers, beginning with the last up to the first. And so starting with those who were hired at the 11th hour, every worker is given one denarius, which is about a day's wages. And so when those who are hired first see this, they're not too happy. Why is that? Well, kind of straightforward, right? They worked way more than those hired at the 11th hour, and yet they're getting paid exactly the same. To give a little bit more context, maybe for this to make even more sense, the day back in that in Jesus' day was divided into 12 hours, from the rough equivalent of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so those hired at the 11th hour were hired basically the equivalent of about 5 p.m. and worked just about 1 hour, while those hired first had worked possibly even up to 12 hours. So when you think about it this way, you can understand why those hired first would be upset. I know if I were in their position, I would be upset, and I imagine that all of you would be as well. It seems extremely unfair. Now, the master, he knows about this and replies to one of the first workers, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Now, what are we to take from this? Well, from this, we see that life in the kingdom of heaven is defined by grace, not by our works. None of us will enter the kingdom of God by our work or because we somehow deserve it in any way or form. It's all an act of grace from God. Though our sin once separated us from him, by his grace, he sent Jesus into the world to bridge the divide, reconcile us to himself, and make a way to be with him for all eternity. The kingdom of heaven is made available purely by grace. And this is true whether you came to believe many years ago, and also for those who will come to believe at the 11th hour, meaning just before the return of Christ. Regardless of when you came to receive the invitation and call from God, the grace is exactly the same. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this sounds unfair, right? And from the perspective of the world, it is unfair. After all, in the world, if you've worked longer, worked harder, you deserve more, right? You deserve a raise or a promotion or at least recognition of some kind. We might want to carry this idea over to our relationship with God. If you've been faithful to God, so you lived a holy, moral life, abstained from sin, you've given, you've served him, you might think you deserve something more, something better. But again, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Our God is a generous God, and he gives freely to everyone. There is no favoritism, nor is anything based on merit. It's all grace, abundant grace. Every person has the opportunity to receive this grace. And frankly, we're receiving something that none of us deserves. And in that sense, that's what's actually unfair. What's actually unfair is that we get this grace at all. If we were going by what's fair and what isn't, we wouldn't receive this grace and this means to eternal life with God. Nothing we've done makes us deserving, nor is there anything we can do that will make us any more deserving now. All of this is out of God's great generosity. It's only by his generosity that we have this gift. This is Thanksgiving weekend, and so maybe you've already spent some time in the last couple of days giving thanks for various things. I want to just suggest that today you add on one more thing to be thankful for, and that's to be thankful for the grace of God. Again, none of us deserve it. It is a gift that we have received. Let's thank God for that. And also, let's pray that more will come to receive this grace of God. That even up until the 11th hour, more will come to receive this invitation, to hear it, to receive this free gift, and be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Let me pray to wrap us up. Lord, we thank you for many things, including this gift that we have received. Thank you for your grace, God. We know that we did not deserve it. There's nothing we will do that we could do that will make us more deserving of it. It is all because you have given it to us freely. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that many more would receive this invitation, receive this gift of grace, God. Help us to be a part of that as well, Lord, part of sharing it with others, making it known to all. So thank you once again, God, for your grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.